Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, boys. Time for me to tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. I know you're dying to know, Cakes.
I need to be entertained.
My favorite segment.
I'll tell you, this story is actually amazing to me. I guess this happened for thousands of years, but Seth Meyers announced on his show the birth of his second child, Axel, recently, and he gave the details. His son was actually delivered in the lobby of his apartment.
Oh.
Listen to this. So he and his wife, they have a two-year-old already. They're walking around a totally normal Sunday. This all happened on Sunday. And they had brunch. They took a walk in the park. And then they got back to the apartment, I guess. And then his mother-in-law came downstairs and shouted, "We have to go to the hospital now."
Hmm.
He said, "My wife's in intense pain. It seems like now it's just one long contraction." So he called Uber. He's like, we got to get to the hospital.
Okay.
Is this New York?
Yes. By the time they reached the lobby of the apartment building, his wife, Alexi, realized she wasn't going to make it to the hospital. She was going to have the baby right here. She says, "I can't get in the car. I'm going to have the baby right now. The baby is coming." He says he's trying to calm her down. He's like, "Look, no. We've done this before. Don't worry. This happens all the time. Hang in there." She goes, no. "The baby is coming. The baby is out."
That baby was ready to come.
He said they lowered her to the floor. He and his mother-in-law and then some neighbors were kind of around seeing what was going on. They kind of surrounded her. They undressed her, and the baby was just out.
Oh,
the head of the baby was just out in the lobby of the apartment.
Couldn't wait.
I mean, it just happens. They called 911. They screamed, we're about to have a baby. We're having a baby. We had a baby.
I would have called 911 before I called Uber. I mean, I understand.
Well, he didn't necessarily understand the ramifications. He thought, okay, it's a rush.
He's like, yeah. You're having the baby now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure you are. Maybe in like an hour.
Right.
No. She had the baby in the lobby.
Wow.
They go down to see what's doing. The head's popped out.
That is unbelievable.
They luckily they call 911, the fire department, police, whatever. They all come and they arrive just after the baby's born, and they cut the umbilical cord.
Wow!
But you know, you wonder how does this happen for thousands of years, right? People just have babies.
Yes,
of course.
But didn't the mother used to die all the time?
Wow! Back before there was
probably dying during childbirth
just bleed to death. I mean, it's just it's a complete disaster having a baby.
How did the cavemen know to cut the umbilical cord?
How did they know?
I guess they just knew.
How did they know?
Did you say that they called Uber?
Yes.
Isn't that a little disrespectful to bring your wife who's having a baby in some poor guy's car?
Maybe it was Uber Black.
They didn't think.
Well, water broke. You're
okay,
going to drag all that
my
into some guy's
water,
got
people's
car.
Water breaks.
There might have been
an
Uber right around the corner.
You got time. Usually you don't have the baby in the lobby of the hotel.
Like, there's probably 10 million Uber drivers in New York.
I mean, what are they waiting for?
There's probably one right outside.
She didn't make it from her apartment to the lobby.
I mean, that's a five-minute trip.
You hit the elevator button, you're waiting, and then the head pops out. I mean, that just never happens.
No, that's
crowning.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's quite an expedited birth.
But supposedly, and there are some pictures online if you want to see, of her laying down in the apartment lobby with the fire department people there. They've got her covered with blankets. They say the neighbors, they're quick thinking, I guess. You know, you got to keep the baby warm and everything. They threw their towels in the dryer, heated up the towels real quick, and tried to keep the baby warm until the fire department and everybody arrived.
Did they have
arrived.
A heater in the dugout like Bryce had on Sunday Night Baseball? Heat up his bat and his gloves?
I don't know that they had one right there in the lobby.
How did the baby just pop out like that?
Sometimes
he was ready.
Sometimes
it happens,
sometimes
man.
They're ready, man. They're ready
like,
to rock.
I thought labor is like a an hour-long process.
Yeah, but I think when you've had your second or third kid, sometimes it's seriously, it's like a slide. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a water slide.
It's like taking a dump.
It just comes right out the chute. Yeah.
You wait. You're going to be there at some point.
That actually happened to me at the hotel. My daughter was in the shower, and I couldn't. I mean, there was nothing I could do.
You had to go in while your daughter was in the shower?
I said, it's either going to happen in my pants or it's going to happen in the toilet.
Wait a second. Hold on.
My 8-year-old.
You couldn't make it down to the lobby?
No.
It was that urgent?
I was chilling, and all of a sudden I said, open the door. I got to use the toilet.
Your water broke.
Yeah. I had a situation.
This was where? This was at a hotel?
Yeah, in Philly.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was, look, there was no small talk. There was no none of that. Just whatever. Sorry. I got to go.
With an 8-year-old, I guess it's okay. But yeah. You wouldn't do that with a teenager.
Well, I would instead of going in my pants.
The move is, especially if you're with your family.
I wouldn't have made it. I would have been like time, Seth Meyers' wife.
If you have time, you always go down and use the lobby bathroom instead of just fouling
up
your whole room.
I rarely do that because the room is usually clean.
If it's a nice hotel.
A nice hotel, it's clean.
Well, I know, but the lobby bathroom is usually pretty nice.
Yeah,
if it's a nice hotel.
Yeah.
True, but.
He wasn't going to wait.
It would have been in my drawers. That would have looked like Drabby's underwear.
Don't bring me into this.
I don't want to look like Drabby's
underwear. I mean, come on, man. You're a dirtball. You know that.
Yeah. No, I don't do that.
Can you imagine? So CBS executives, and we are no longer employees of CBS. Right?
We can
say whatever we want. I can actually mother F Les Moonves right now.
Yes, you technically could.
Right? I could say what a piece of garbage he is. I don't believe that, but I mean, I could say that if I wanted. Before, that was very verboten.
It was all off limits.
But you still own CBS stock.
I do.
That's true. So want
don't
the company
don't
do
ever
well.
MF
According
it.
To my Morgan Stanley account, I may not.
You have to make a call to their customer service.
What's
line
going
today.
On? I can't
figure out what's going on.
I can't
on.
Find my shares.
What did I tell you?
Are yours?
What did I tell you yesterday?
Mine are accessible. I don't know about you, Donks.
Are you having the same issue?
Mine reads zeros.
I can't even. It says I don't even have an account.
I know, because you're supposed to sign up through a work-based email.
Okay, but where are the shares?
No, I think my wife set all that up.
You know where the shares are?
Hello?
In the cloud.
The ether. Yeah, they're in the ether.
I know
right
where
now.
They're not.
As long
they're not
as
on
I
my
can
computer
still,
screen.
As long as I can still access the shares.
Yeah. I'm not really that worried, but
I'm a little
bit
worried.
You go to Morgan Stanley right now, and I log in, and it's just a big blank screen.
It looks like what Max was doing yesterday.
A no-hitter.
Zeros. Right. Zeros.
Lots
everywhere.
Of zeros.
Yeah.
What did Atlanta's line score look like?
Dude, I don't even see zeros. I just have like a blank white sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But CBS apparently is freaking out. And you can imagine why, Cakes. I think it's the Washington Post is doing a big expose. Is that how you say the word?
That's Cakes? How you say it.
On Charlie Rose. And they apparently.
Good for ratings.
You get the sense that executives knew that he was a creep for years.
And there was a lot of covering up going on.
And they're waiting for the other shoe to drop because there are some big willies over there.
Oh, they're running scared over at CBS.
Can you imagine waking up with that? Like, you've known for 5 years, but you just wrote it off as, it's really no big deal. It's just
Charlie being Charlie.
It's just Charlie being Charlie.
Right.
An old guy being a little overly flirtatious. Sure, we looked the other way, but we didn't think much about
it. He's old man.
Yeah, no one's really threatened or scared by Charlie.
Well, do you know what CBS did? Is that they're telling the employees that some of them may be violating their NDAs.
Yeah, they had to sign non-disclosure agreements.
I'm going to hang out with
apparently,
smoking hotties.
Charlie Rose didn't watch all the training videos like
Yeah, the compliance did. Videos.
We were CBS employees.
He didn't know any better, but
Him and AWOD
These
for,
guys?
All his, for all his scams.
Squeaky clean in here.
Right.
So
anyway,
clean.
Watch out for that. That's a Washington Post real in-depth investigation into the Charlie Rose deal. And, you know, there will be some heads that are rolled.
By the way, for people that don't know, years ago I brought up the fact that Les Moonves made a certain amount in salary when he was the CBS CEO. I think it was probably dovetailed off of an entertainment page story. I was like, Les Moonves made $65 million last year as the CBS CEO. And, like, I'm sure it had something to do with, I can't get this expensed, but Les Moonves made $65 million last year. And then like 2 weeks later, I get called into CK's office. Basically,
don't ever
saying,
say that again.
Yeah, like the word traveled up the food chain. And if you ever talk about less salary again, you're basically going to be effing fired. Yeah. Something along those lines.
It's like the one time we've actually been threatened to be fired.
So I said, got the message, got it.
Crystal clear. Well, the other time was, well, I think when JP or maybe Cakes gave away like $5 million in fake money or something.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was a fake contest.
No. That was me.
Cakes gave away a fake prize.
It was a fake contest.
It's when I did the lover boy bit, which we haven't done since, by the way.
I know, we've stopped that.
Which has been full on retired.
What did you say? You said
Cakes said caller. Cakes said caller 10 was,
I know exactly. He was talking up a record.
I know exactly.
Wasn't he talking up a record? Yes.
The lover boy bit.
Yes, the lover boy working for the weekend. We do it every Friday.
We did it
segment,
every Friday.
And Cakes said something about the Redskins Panthers game, and he said, like, caller 10, well you're going to win tickets to the Redskins Panthers game. And then right. Jason said something like, he goes, it's in Charlotte. It's not here. And then Cakes says, yeah, we're going to send you down there for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right. I basically made up a
private
prize that if somebody had called us on it, we would have had to provide them the prize.
We get sued.
And it would have come out of my pocket.
Right.
Yeah, I was hilarious. Like, you can go see John Beck play for the Redskins against the Carolina Panthers in a road game.
Hey, can we bring A1 in real quick to see
Being
if he can?
Stupid.
Yeah, bring him in.
All right, where is he?
He's there.
All right. So we have the world map right here in front of us. We want to see if he knows where China is, right?
We want to see if he knows where all the Terps who are declaring are going to be playing next season instead of in College Park.
Right.
I would be shocked if you didn't get this.
How many of those,
I wouldn't be shocked.
How many of those countries can you actually identify besides the United States?
I mean, I know Ghana's in West Africa.
But which one is it?
It's this little one right here. I'm pretty darn confident.
The only reason he knows that is because he's a soccer nerd and knows a bunch of guys who play for Chelsea, who I'm sure are from Ghana.
All right, tell us where China is. Yeah, big fat winner. I told
you. Got it?
You.
He
of
nailed
course.
It?
China.
Can you name any other countries around there?
That's Aussie.
All right. Russia.
The right, they're the two biggest on the map.
Brazil.
Yeah.
Those are like the
easy peasies.
Can't do the United States.
Mexico.
Can he find India?
Can I find India?
Yeah.
Yes.
India. Ooh, okay.
Did
this
he get
is when it?
It
gets
Did
tough.
He get it?
Did we find his wheelhouse?
Can you find Sweden?
Hey, cause the biggest countries in the world. He's labeled.
Can you find Sweden?
can you find Italy?
I mean, these are squiggles.
Can you
what
find
am I supposed to
the
look
boot?
For?
It's a terrible
this
map.
This is a hurting
oh, oh,
map.
Yeah.
Italy, I will say that.
Italy's one of these. I mean, everything looks like a boot here.
All right. It's a terrible bit.
Yeah,
it's
terrible. All right, I told you he was going
to
get
found
China.
John. I'm kind of
let's go, to,
kind
let's
of
go to John DePompa real quick. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey guys, how are we doing today?
Hello, John.
Right. John hasn't called in a long time. What's up?
Well, I get played off every time. It's not fun anymore.
You get call shamed.
Yeah,
you gotta wait till next year, next fantasy football season. I guess
that's a terrible bit. Can we retire that already?
I'm begging.
I got to. Hey, look, you'll know what word when Cakes was doing his Panthers Redskins tickets giveaway and his everybody working for the weekend. You'll know what word he ended every sentence with.
What word? Everybody?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
That was part of the bit.
Everybody. Hey, EB, I got a couple areas of hope for the playoffs this year. You ready?
All right.
For the Cavs, EB, our number one source of hope is the Dew Theory.
Okay.
And for the Wizards, we have two sources of hope, the Flip Switch and the Dew Theory. You're both those going for us. Nickel Man in the studio.
Yeah, but
he doesn't really care what you're saying.
He's giving me a quick
look. Oh, poor John.
The flip switch.
Poor John.
The flip switch.
All right. Thank you, John. All right. I had actually more EP, but we got two guests coming up, right?
Yeah, your EP's done.
All right. So I'm going to save
EP's
for tomorrow.
Over.
It just means you're going to have even better one tomorrow.
Hopefully those are silly evergreen stories
did
for tomorrow.
Did I not entertain you today?
I was entertained.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You did entertain me.
Lukewarm.
Mediocre.
The Seth Meyers story was entertaining. He had a baby in the lobby.
Kind of gross.
It's a great story. I fainted when my second one was born.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if I fainted in the lobby of the apartment to be here.
I'm surprised you're not fainting wearing that heavy-ass jacket.
I am getting a little hot now.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, it's like 72 in here.
It took a while to heat up.
All right, we come back. We'll talk some college football, how the college players are going to transfer into the NFL draft with Dennis Dodd, college football writer for CBS Sports. He'll join us next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your next chance to score a free pair of Caps Jackets playoff tickets comes up in just about 30 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. So keep listening for your chance to win those. Right now, we're happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Dennis Dodd, college football writer for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us. I want to start off talking about the quarterback spot entering this NFL draft. It's just about 2.5 weeks away. Jim Mora, I don't think, did Josh Rosen any favors with some of his quotes. It came out a few weeks ago about him being a millennial, and you know he has a lot of interest in life, and if he can hold his concentration on football and football only, you know he'll basically set the world on fire. What did you think about those comments? Will it ding Rosen's draft status? I don't think it will. I still think he's going to be a top 5 to 7 selection in the draft. What did you think about those comments?
You know, I thought they were misinterpreted in this, you know, Instagram world. You know, on its face, it looks like he's ripping Josh Rosen. But I actually listened to the comments, and then I listened to an explanation after the initial reaction from Jim Mora. And all he was saying, I think the initial comment was, you know, Sam Darnold's perfect for Cleveland. Well, that sounds like on its face that he's ripping Josh Rosen. No, he was saying Sam Darnold, you know, a big guy, kind of relates to the city, although he's an Orange County kid. Mm-hmm. You know, work ethic, stuff like that, fits the ethic. Mm-hmm. Fits the ethic of Cleveland. You know, he said Josh Rosen is a more cerebral guy. I think Josh Rosen is one of the smartest and best interviews I've ever had. And so it was interpreted as a slap, and he had to come back and kind of clarify. I don't think he needed to clarify. I think he needed to sit down instead of reacting on Twitter and listen to what he said. Go get the tape. So, no, I don't think that will ding him at all.
How much influence do you have over the CBS Sports rankings when you guys rank the college players? Not the mock drafts, just the rankings.
Yeah. Oh, none. Okay. That's all the NFL guys, and okay. The mock drafts are all the NFL guys. So I am as entertained and consume that as much as any reader.
Well, it's funny because I just logged on to it. I'm just looking at the quarterback rankings, and they have CBS Sports has Rudolph 1, Lamar Jackson 2, and then they have the big three. Then they have Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield as 3, 4, 5. So whoever's doing these rankings thinks that Mason Rudolph is the best quarterback in the class. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but I'm not going to try to explain what they did, but I think there's a difference between ranking the talents and fitting them with the teams and what they need. Mason Rudolph is a downfield guy. He's a big body. He's a high completion rate. Lamar Jackson, and this is a personal thing, I don't think he'll end up being a serviceable NFL quarterback. That's just my opinion. He's a great kid, deserves the Heisman, all that stuff. I've got issues with his accuracy. I've got issues with it with, you know, a thing I don't know about, his play calling. I don't know about that. I don't know about under center. I don't know. I do know that historically his ability to run, which is great in college, will be, I don't know what the word is, muffled in the NFL, because it always is for the great runners in college, unless you are a Cam Newton type whose body can hold up. I don't think his body can hold up. So I'm not as high on Lamar Jackson as some other people are.
Mm-hmm. And then when you look at Rosen and Darnold, just those two, and compare them, I mean, Darnold's a little bit bigger. They're about the same height. Darnold's a little bit heavier. But what do you think about those two?
I knew them both. I was impressed by them both. Obviously in that Southern California market, Josh Rosen played on a team that did one thing well, and he was that person who did it well. He couldn't run the ball. you know, they didn't play a defense worth a lick, didn't protect him well, mm-hmm. and yet he was able to get passes off and it was their best weapon. I think that says volumes about him. There's this, like you kind of guys referenced it, like, you know, is he fully committed to football? Yeah, I think he's fully committed to football. I also think when he's done playing football, you know, he wants to start an initiative to help college athletes because he's seen players, you know, sleep in the facility because they had no place to go, didn't have a place to stay. And he's a finance major. There's nothing wrong with that. I've seen that criticized in a football evaluation. Sam Darnold is a big bone, big body kid. I thought if things can be, this sort of thing can be impressive. I thought it was really impressive at his pro day. One, he did it in the rain. And then two, he was very good at it. So that showed me he's more, you know, he's a gritty guy. He's less mobile than Josh Rosen. I think they'll both be highly successful. The comparison is because they are both right there at the top and both in Southern California.
Dennis, where do you fall on Josh Allen, the quarterback out of Wyoming? If I were an NFL general manager, I'd be scared to death if that's the guy that I pick that doesn't develop within the first two or three years and gets me fired. That's what I would be worried about. But he has tremendous upside. But I just look at his accuracy when he was at Wyoming against mostly inferior competition, completed 56% of his passes in 16 and, you know, right around the same number in 2017.
Yeah, his completion work percentage was similar to Lamar Jackson. And I think the difference is, one difference is Lamar Jackson was playing against Power 5 athletes with Power 5 athletes. I really like Josh Allen because, and I believe this, I've heard this from scouts, that his ball was so good that, you know, the players he was throwing to couldn't catch it. In other words, he had that kind of Elway cross thing. I don't know if you know what the Elway cross is. It was a spot on the chest where the crosshairs of the football used to hit guys in practice, and they'd leave a mark. And they called it the Elway cross. He threw so hard.
Huh.
I think I think his ball was so good at that level that a lot of guys, Mountain West, let's say Mountain West type talent, couldn't handle it. Mm. And I think he'll be very good at the next level. And I could be completely wrong, but I think his measurables, which is another lightning rod word, the pros love, because he's big, he's rangy. He played in the pro offense under Craig Bowl at Wyoming. For them, he's set. There aren't many questions except what you mentioned. You know, is it just because he was playing with inferior talent for Wyoming, or is that who he is?
If Dennis Dodd was the GM of the Cleveland Browns, who is he taking at quarterback out of those guys we just talked about?
I'd trade all the number one picks and go get Baker Mayfield. No. You have to get a quarterback when you're at college or NFL and hang on to him and put all your eggs in the basket, because you can't win without a quarterback. I mean, you can, but I think you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance.
Right.
So I would go there.
But which
and
one?
Just try to get.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, that's which a good question.
That's a good question. Three, four, five we talked about, you know, is. You're playing for the Browns, who are going to be better, but you're going to get your butt kicked a lot, too, because they're the Browns. You know, so who holds up the best mentally, physically, doesn't get worn down, and it's the guy of the future? I mean, I might go with Darnold just because of that. I kind of agree with Jim Mora. But as much of a talent there is at the top in quarterbacks this year, I think it's a crapshoot because of the fit. You know, does the Josh Rosen really don't fit with the Browns? Okay, well, that doesn't mean he's not the best quarterback. He may not be able to fit, you know, sustain 27 sacks over the season. So, I mean, just top of my head, I guess I'd go Darnold.
We're joined by Dennis Dodd, college football writer for CBS Sports. We're here in D.C., and the Redskins clearly need running back help. They're not going to be able to get Saquon Barkley. He'll go before they pick at 13, but names like Darius Geis out of LSU, Ronald Jones out of Southern Cal are some names that have been linked to the Redskins. Talk about both of those running backs, what you like about them, what you dislike, and who do you think is a better fit for the Redskins?
I love Geis. He made, you know, when Fournette was injured towards the end at LSU and he was just coming up, he was a different sort of better back. He had wiggle. He can run north-south. He had more wiggle than Leonard Fournette, obviously not as big. but I loved his ability. I don't know about pass catching. I just don't know. I'm not saying I'm not questioning it. I just don't know because LSU doesn't do much of that.
Right.
Ronald Jones is more of a straight ahead guy, a more, I guess, traditional NFL back. Not going to wow you, but going to have 22 carries for 88 yards or something like that, which is, you know, on any given Sunday, you'll take that, if that's what it takes. So I like guys a little more in terms of just because he's got a little bit of home run ability. I don't think – I know Ronald Jones doesn't on the NFL level. He may have had it in college, but Darius Geis was really impressive to me. He was when I saw them on the same team, I thought, you know, Fournette was 1A and Geis at his best was 1.
Mm-hmm.
1B, I should say, 1B, excuse me.
Is there a position in this particular draft that you've seen, you know, from afar that you think the strength lies? I mean, is it quarterback? Is it running back? Or is there another position you really like?
There's volume at quarterback. I don't know if there's we've talked about this. I don't know if there's a home run hire or home run guy out there. I mean, there's gonna be maybe a lot more next year. It's gonna be a little more wide open. No, same thing. The high-priced positions, defensive end, running back, receiver. I don't know if it's overloaded at one position or another. I know that – I'm trying to remember who it is. Denzel Ward at Ohio State, all I right. think is – I thought in our last mock was top five. So yes. He's a cover corner. That's, you know, after quarterback. And maybe left tackle, if you can get a cover corner that kind of sews your defense together because you can shut down one side of the field. So, but I don't know if there's many other defensive backs like that in the draft.
Dennis, in your Twitter bio, it says you're a hockey lover and dad. Mm. We need your pick on Caps Jackets in the first round before we let you go.
I made it Sunday on Twitter. I had Caps in five. These aren't the Jackets of last year, and I think the Caps are clicking on a high level. Now, to win the Cup or get to the final, that's a dicey proposition given their history. But I do think they're playing well. Obviously, Ovi's playing well. They've got all the pieces. And I at least in the first round, I think they roll.
Who would you start in goal, Grubby or Holtby?
That's tough, too. I think historically, Holtby. Maybe not for this season, but again, what he's done in the past, it looks like they're going to need both of them to if they advance deep in the playoffs, because I don't see one guy playing, 25, 28 games or something like that if they play seven-game series.
It's true.
It just wears you down. So just a guess.
Dennis, thanks as always for the time. It's Dennis Dodd. You can follow
Thank
him
you, Dennis.
On Twitter, at Dennis Dodd CBS. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
You know, I can't imagine.
He's confident about the Caps.
I can't imagine him being able to play 24, 25 games, whatever it takes.
Yeah, because
he's right. They're going to need both goalies. There's no way if they start like Holtby, he's going to play. Let's just say they go on this hot streak.
Right.
There's no way he's going to play all 25. There's just no way.
No, but if one of them is hot, if they play, you know, 22 games or 20, however many,
yeah.
One might play 19 or 20 of them.
I agree. But they're going to need the other guy.
One of them will have to.
Over the
Make
hall.
Some spot starts. If
over
it's
the
a
hall.
Long...
If they advance,
yeah.
They're going to need both.
Absolutely.
Cakes. Again, series price for the Caps Blue Jackets is -125 Caps, +105 Jackets.
Somebody that I know made a sizable bet for the Caps to win the series against the Jackets.
Yes, he did.
What'd you bet? 500?
I didn't.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm actually talking about
somebody else. I'm not talking about code.
What did
me.
That person put on it?
1,000.
That person put it.
I thought it was 1,000.
I think it was 1,000 or.
1250 to win
1,000. That's the bet.
1250 to win 1,000.
So we will go to talking about.
I should do that.
Goalies.
You're going to put 1250 on it?
I mean.
Why don't you just put 125?
Change your life.
What, are you
going
to bring that money in the grave with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you talking about the Caps or the Blue Jackets?
No. I should do it on the pen.
All right, that's a little different.
Bet it 2-1. Just count your money. Yeah. I might be conspiring with you later about that.
Why don't we all just get in on it?
The pens, I like.
You might have to. Yeah.
But the odds are much worse.
Might have to. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Brent Johnson, former NHL goalie, former Caps goalie. He's a Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. And coming up at 9:55, your last chance during this show to win Caps Jackets playoff tickets. Corner. It's at 9:55. You can also listen to Grant and Danny and Chad Dukes versus the World for your chance to win throughout the day. Happy to bring in Brent Johnson on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's a Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. It's been a while since we talked to Brent. Brent, hello. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, it's great to have you on, man. You are the perfect guy to have on here as we all speculate as to which way Coach Barry Trotz is going to go with this. Of course, you being a former goaltender in the league and playing for the Caps.
I was hoping you guys had heard something I didn't hear.
No. But I'll tell you what my instinct is you got all I know about hockey is you got to have the hot goalie, right? That's all we ever hear about, and I think we've got one. It just happens to not be Holtby at this point. If I'm Barry Trotz, I'm starting Grubby, but I'm not convinced that's the way it's going to go. What would you do?
You know, I mean, I got to look at, you know, the season series. You know, Holtby faced Bobrovsky all four times. You know, Holtby being coming out 3-1, doing slightly better in save percentage, and just a little bit better in goals against average. Bobrovsky was basically very average against the Capitals this year. So, leg up in goaltending, no matter who plays, in my estimation, Holtby or Grubauer. But I'm totally with you guys. I mean, I just say, you know what? These two teams have never faced each other in the playoffs. They don't know what they're going to get when they see Philip Grubauer. I love the intensity that he's shown over this last month and a half, 2 months. He's bringing something to his game that I haven't seen in Braden Holtby basically in the last couple seasons. You know, just a fire, a drive. It looks like he's playing with a lot of passion. And to me, if I'm a coach, I go with that guy. And I'm not saying that Braden Holtby can't get the job done, because I think he can. I just think the Capitals are in a fantastic situation where they could, you know, they can lean on either guy when the time is needed.
Brent, rewinding to when the Vegas Knights had their expansion draft, you know, there was a lot of hand-wringing over whether it was going to be Grubauer or Nate Schmidt that was exposed to be drafted by Vegas.
Right.
And I remember before that, I was like, you know what? I'd really like to keep Nate Schmidt because he's a young, promising defenseman. He makes things happen when he's out on the ice. I thought Grubby was kind of expendable. But now I'm thinking, you know what? With Holtby's struggles, really glad that the brass here, McClellan and company, decided to hold on to Grubauer, protect him instead of Nate Schmidt.
You know what, I was with you. I was kind of, you know, expecting not have a Philip Grubauer on the Washington Capitals this year. Very, very pleasantly surprised to see how it all went down. He's one of those guys that I don't know, you know, that he's been kind of biding his time, you know, sitting in the wings and being professional while doing it. I believe that he can be a starter in the league. You know, he's, you know, paid his dues playing here in Washington and been professional about it as well. It was kind of shocking how it all went down. You look and see what Nate Schmidt has done with the Vegas Knights, you know, how he's basically their number two guy back there on D, and they use him a lot. So the way it all played out is good for the Caps, ended up being pretty good for the Vegas Knights as well.
So what's dangerous about Columbus? What should we worry about if we're watching these games?
So I'm really concerned about how many pucks they throw to the net. This is a team that gets a lot of rubber at the net, and they basically do it from everywhere. And we all know that in playoffs, and the extra season, that it's those goals that go off the shin pads or off the skates, you know, where a guy's, you know, paying attention to a guy in front and, you know, obviously not puck focused. And, you know, one of those little things that happened. So I'm concerned about them there. The good news is I don't see them being even close to Washington offensively. Where I'm concerned is the defenseman jumping up in the play. I mean, You have Seth Jones, who is, I think, their second leading scorer with maybe 56, 57 points this year, who's just an unbelievable talent back there. He's great defensively, great offensively. He knows when to jump up. But they just play a cycle game. They play a cycle game. They, you know, they get pucks in and they kind of play that possession forecheck. And if they can get you tired, they, you know, they may come out with a good scoring opportunity here or there. So I think, you know, for the Caps, it's just, you know, a patient game, smart plays, try to get the puck north-south. Forget about going back behind your net, because with their forecheck, they're just going to, you know, hem you in as much as possible. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. And you think this is a team that only, you know, they only lost four more games than the Washington Capitals, or, you know, they had four less wins, I should say. You know, so it's a pretty, you know, I don't know, man. You can put this either way. I hope the Caps have a good game plan because I think both teams have a lot to prove.
Joined by Brent Johnson, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington, longtime NHL goaltender. You mentioned Bobrovsky and his struggles with the Caps over the years. His splits against them, 22 games in his career, he's allowed 64 goals in that span, by far the most that any team has scored against him. What is it about the Capitals that just torments Bobrovsky? Is it just the fact that he's facing Alex Ovechkin and Backstrom and Kuzi so many times that he's bound to give up a lot of, you know, scoring opportunities to those proficient scorers?
Well, I think, you know, part of it is that. I mean, I think Ovi, Kuzi, I think even John Carlson had two goals against them in the four games they played this year. And it's, I don't know. I can, you know, I can take it. I bet you they're going to change their format and what they do either on the penalty kill there in Columbus, what they're going to do, you know, to take away Ovi. I mean, the good thing that's going for the Capitals is that, you know, they have so many weapons out there, whether it be Kuzi, Oshie, Carly jumping in from the point, Niski if he's out there. They have a lot of different weapons. Backy with, you know, eyes in back of his head, you know, can make plays no matter what. So I think you know, I look for the Columbus Blue Jackets to adjust and take away Ovi on the PK and not let him get that shot off. And if they do so many times, you know, obviously that's just going to open up somebody else. You know, maybe Oshie in the slot or Kuzi by the side of the goal there. So it's going to open up things, and you know, once the Capitals start getting those chances, Ovi will be probably have that prime real estate over there open again, and be able to. And you look at the goals Ovi has scored, and not just against Columbus this year, but you know, against everybody, he's scoring different goals. But the goals he's scoring on his power play are perfectly placed shots from his office. So I can't see anybody with a game plan that doesn't consist of, you know, taking away Ovechkin, you know, from the half wall there. It's just it would be silly for any team to do that. So I figure Washington's probably going to have that covered and figure that out and, you know, find other options.
All right, Brent, you don't have to give any rationale. Just give me your pick for these series. Flyers-Pens.
Flyers-Pens. Oh, my God. I don't think the Pens are going to skate by this one. I'm going to go Flyers.
Oh wow!
Really?
Oh, well, that gives me upset. Hope. Wow. Maybe I'll check into these playoffs.
All right.
It's all up in the air in goaltending. Murray hasn't looked like himself after coming back, and you know, Elliott looks like he's back. So it's up in the air.
All right, Bruins, Maple Leafs.
Bruins. I Bruins will win, but it's going to be a long series. The Maple Leafs, I think, you know, especially how well they played Washington last year in the playoffs, they might be a shocker, but I think Bruins will come out.
All right, Kings, Golden Knights.
I want the Golden Knights because it's a good story. So I'm going to say Golden Knights. Yeah, Golden Knights. And I got to go for my buddy, Mark Andre.
All right. Not going to ask you about some of the other series because they should be blowouts. Nashville should win. Lightning should win.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate the time, buddy. Let's talk again soon.
Hey, gents, yes,
No problem, and you guys take care. Have a great day.
Yeah, all right, thanks, you too,
Brent.
Buddy.
You can
Thank
follow
you, Brent.
Him on Twitter, at JohnnyGoalie12. He does great work for NBC Sports Washington, breaking down the Washington Capitals.
I agree.
Two days
him.
Away from the puck drop, start getting sized.
I really get excited for the playoffs.
As you should.
Now, mostly because I can wager on it.
Right, of course.
But I'm really excited for the Cap series against the Blue Jackets.
How, yes. how much is it if I put 100 on the Pens? Although he
gets 50
Flyers.
Back,
you would lend, actually less than 50.
Less than 50.
Wow. Probably and he likes the Flyers. Maybe we should be betting.
He thinks
the Flyers.
Goaltending's a little bit shaky for the Pens, which I like to hear.
Actually, wow. It's down to 190.
Good news. All right, coming up very shortly, your chance to win a free pair of tickets to go see the Caps take on the Jackets in round one of the NHL playoffs at Capital One Arena. So keep listening for your chance to win those. Our friends Grant and Danny, they're coming
PT
up
today.
Next.
PT on the shoulder.
Right here on 106.7 The Fan. Your shoulder's all banged up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.